Speaking of the Nats, they're back at camp. No Bryce Harper. Max Scherzer made some national headlines, though, yesterday. Here is basically what's going on in baseball right now. Because Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, who are 26-year-old superstars, have not signed, and a lot of players, dozens and dozens of players, are waiting for them to sign before they can sign their contracts, we're upwards of 90-plus free agents who have yet to put pen to paper, and it's later in the offseason last year than it had ever been before guys were signing, and this year has been worse than that. And the sentiment is, and it's the correct sentiment, that there's less money for these players now. Owners are going away from the mega contracts of yesteryear. They don't want to spend the money on Harper and Machado. I think, you know, we're having what should be like 10 or 12 different conversations all jammed into one.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously there's a problem, and obviously something at its core is rotten right now in Major League Baseball's system and in its spending ways. But there are different levels of this. Like not wanting to give Jason Worth a one-year contract at $4 million bucks at 38 years old, let's say, last season, to do something that you can get a 4A player to do, which is hit 250 with a little bit of power, for a lot less money, that's not really a problem. That's probably smart, honestly. But not paying a guy like Bryce Harper, you can make the case, or Manny Machado could be a problem. Now, I could still argue, and I do all the time, that that's smart, too, because we've learned with all of these 9- and 10-year contracts, whether it's Miguel Cabrera or Prince Fielder or Albert Pujols, or you run through the list, most teams regret signing those deals with those players. Very few teams like the Nats, the 7 years, the $214 million for Max Scherzer, end up feeling like it was the right thing to do. But the way things are going right now is every player, the smart, the veteran, high-paid players in baseball are coming out trying to defend their turf on behalf of guys like Harper and Machado, who can't speak right now publicly about what's going on. And Max Scherzer was the latest guy to do so. Here was one of the comments that he made at spring training yesterday.
No other sport has this in their free agency. You know, why is this exclusive to baseball? And so you got to start looking at different reasons of, you know, why this is happening. And one thing that I think that is going on and it's pervasive is just the amount of commentary from, you know, club officials and everybody that make their knowledge public of what they're trying to do in the offseason. It just feels like teams are negotiating through the media. And to me, that's one of the key driving forces and maybe why we're seeing a slower market than usual is that we know every intention of every single team, something that other leagues consider tampering, and they don't tolerate that.
Scherzer makes a lot of correct points in that. He's 100% right, Danny. In baseball, you get access to the executives, and they are more willing to show you the blueprint for their offseason plan than in any other sport. Good luck asking the Redskins what they plan on doing in free agency.
They treat it like a state secret. Yeah.
Any intel. In baseball, Mike Rizzo is willing to sit you down if you're the lead beat writer for the Washington Post and say, we're looking at an outfielder, this, that. Now, on a radio interview with us, he's not really going to give you much information.
He's not going to tell you we're targeting Brian Dozier. I mean, he's not going to say that
but
much.
If Barry's Sverluga sitting in his office, that you're more willing as a GM. There's a rapport with the writers, the everyday element of baseball where you're in the clubhouse before the game, after the game, guys are around the cage. It's just different than in other sports. So there's something to be said for that. But let me read you a couple more comments from Scherzer I want to get people to react to, and I want to see what you think about these. He said, when there are too many teams that are not trying to win, that poisons the game. It poisons the fan experience, and it creates bandwagon fans. If you are constantly just trying to go in this win-loss cycle that MLB is pushing, you're creating bandwagon fans, and that's not the type of fan you want to create. You want to create the fans that are following your team year in, year out. It's put on the fans, honestly, to demand that from the league. There's going to be some teams that are not in a position necessarily to try to win the World Series. I understand that. But when you have over a third of the league trying to do that, meaning trying to lose, that's a problem, he said. I think he's right about this, too. And I'm admitting this as someone who helped create the problem. My adage and axiom on baseball for years has been, if you're not going to win, you need to be a loser.
Uh-huh.
You need to draft in the top five. We've seen the Astros do it, win a World Series. We've seen the Cubs do it, win a World Series. This is how it should work if you're going to get good.
Max Scherzer's own Detroit Tigers a few years ago, by the way, went through some of the worst baseball in the history of the world. Made the World Series a couple times. Didn't win it,
right,
but they got really
before
good.
Before he was there.
Yeah.
But now Detroit is doing the opposite, mm-hmm, where they've refused to tank. They're finally doing it now. And but you know what happened? They've been irrelevant for several years. They're awful. They have no chance, and they don't pick in the top five. The worst thing you can do is be the Wizards, essentially, and just keep kind of being in the middle of the pack, pretending like you've got a shot when you don't. The teams that actually bottom out are the teams that get very good much faster. Philadelphia 76ers in basketball. So it's proven it works. There's no arguing anymore about whether or not it works. It works more often than it doesn't. The question becomes, though, can we get too much of this in these sports? I was talking to somebody with an agency. I won't go into who, but just know they represent one of the big players still available in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And they listed the number of teams to me that just this year do not care at all about winning. It was substantial. Scherzer's right. It's basically a third or maybe a hair more than a third of the league. That is a problem.
Here's where he and I will part company, though. That's always been the case, but now they're transparent about it. You go back to the 80s when I grew up watching baseball. There were, of the 20-some teams, now there's 30, but let's say for the sake of argument, 30 teams, there were 15 teams you knew had no chance because the Yankees had twice the payroll.
But there's a difference between not having a chance and actively being awful, where now you see it because of the amount of money. Here's what baseball could do to fix this, I think. They need a salary floor.
Without question.
Because if you don't have a salary floor, if you're going to have a cap, and they don't technically have a cap, but they have a luxury tax, which serves as a cap.
Right.
You can't have a fake cap and no floor.
Right.
They need to have a floor because in the past, by and large, teams would spend a decent amount of money. Now, basically, the goal is let's spend as little as humanly possible, lose as many games as possible, and get the number one pick. And that didn't necessarily happen 20 years ago.
Well, what did happen was bad decision-making. What happened was teams would spend a decent amount of money and not come close. So this is smart. This is an evolution.
It is smart, but do you agree that it's different? To me, it's like accidentally killing someone, like manslaughter driving down the road and someone's rides their bike out in front of you, or premeditated running over someone. Being terrible and being terrible on purpose are two different things.
Sure, being terrible with a plan is smart. It's good. It's an evolution. So the idea that it's a problem that a quarter of the league or a third of the league, whatever number you want to use, isn't competitive, it was a problem back then for a different reason. It was a problem because the Yankees outspent everybody 2-1, and it was a problem the A's had to solve by figuring out that Scott Hatterberg was just as valuable as Jason Giambi. You had to be creative about it, right? Just to get yourself back in playoff contention. It was a problem before, and it's a problem now, but for different reasons. I don't want to punish people for being smart. I don't want to punish people for shifting.
But
I don't want to punish
people. Can't you say that what about a salary floor? Could we do that?
They absolutely need to do that.
Okay, because that's along the lines of what he's talking about. I mean, I don't think we should punish teams for building this way. And this is something we'll ask him. He's going to be on our show when we're at spring training next week. But I think this would be a nice little common ground where we could meet in the middle, which is you have to spend at least X amount of dollars.
I think that's the most no-brainer, obvious thing that should happen.
Your payroll can't be $21 million when players are making 30.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to be at $75 million as a ball club.
Because the Nationals are spending more just on starting pitching than I think a handful of teams are spending on their entire payroll.
And
that's
Scherzer and Doolittle and some of the other guys that are outspoken on this have come out and commended the Nationals, who are one of the few teams in the sport that are trying to spend and are trying to win. Remember, too, if you're telling me, well, people should be paying Bryce Harper, the Nats offered him $300 million. And if you want to get technical and say it was $284 with deferments or whatever the terminology is that Bob Nightingale used in the USA Today, cool. They offered him $284. Again, and I look forward to chatting with Scherzer about this.
Yep.
I look forward to chatting with Doolittle about this. I disagree with the notion that we should just keep handing out these massive contracts.
Because here's...
They don't work.
Here...
They go bad. Players do not make good on 10 years and $300 million.
Now, the NBA fixed this to some degree, but they've got their own monsters that they created. But you go back to the lockout in 98. You had these mega deals getting signed. Their owners couldn't help themselves. They couldn't find a way to stop doing it. They couldn't find a way to stop giving, Kevin Garnett's a superstar signing for $110 million, but they couldn't stop giving Jerome James $60 million. They couldn't stop giving scrubs that would play well for 7 minutes a huge amount of contract money. Ernie Grunfeld can't stop giving Jan Mahimi, who sucks, $16 million a year. Here's the thing. When someone makes a mistake, it doesn't mean that that's the new market, or it shouldn't, in my opinion. So, again, go to basketball. If I'm a crappy center that plays 10 minutes a night for a team in the modern NBA, I don't get to walk into a negotiation going, Jan Mahimi got $64 million over four. That's what I deserve. And if I'm negotiating against you, I go, that was a mistake by an idiot that should be fired. We're not paying that. That's not what you're worth. That's somebody's foolishness. Go to baseball. David Price, no way you should pay that money for David Price. No way you should have paid that many years and that amount of money for Giancarlo Stanton. No way Miguel Cabrera should have gotten that amount of money. The new normal says, hey, this is wrong. Adjust your eye line, right? Now, the where players have a gripe is some kid that can't do it yet and the middle class of baseball, the $7 or $8 million player not getting a job because some kid is going to be cheaper and under team control for a few years, or watering down, sort of jerry-rigging eligibility stuff and team control. If Vladimir Guerrero Jr. doesn't start in the major leagues this year, for example, that's stupid. Baseball needs to fix that. He's the best third baseman in the organization for Toronto. He should start in the major leagues, but he might not to manipulate kind of payroll stuff. That's where the issues are. To me, someone saying, I'm worth $300 million, and the team's going, actually, that's not smart business. That to me isn't a problem.
Yeah, you're worth $300 million based on the market that's been established and a market that we're telling you is broken and cannot sustain. In my opinion, you know what else is broken? The NBA market, where NBA players will tell you it's going great right now.
I know.
The money keeps going up and we keep getting paid more, and that's what should happen because we're the stars. Nothing you just said is incorrect. But $50 million contracts for guys averaging 5 points and four rebounds is not good.
It's broken. That's bad.
That's a bad situation, too.
Yep.
Players aren't going to admit that the NBA just as broken as baseball, because in the NBA, they get paid, and they get their guaranteed money, and they never have to worry about it, and they don't have to be worth it.